Item B, Willapa Bay Salmon Management Policy, and this is a decision as well.
Mr. Vice Chairman, Commissioner McIsaac.
Yes, Commissioner McIsaac.
Yeah, I'm prepared to speak to the proposed guidance that's available for viewing on the commission website for this conference call. And that's the single-page document with black font. I had been prepared to offer the following policy guidance for commission consideration in the same manner as for the sturgeon agenda item last week. But if legal counsel would prefer a motion, I could do it that way also. So maybe before I begin, maybe I might ask our legal counsel or staff if they have a preference on just speaking to guidance and hearing whether or not we've got consensus or an obvious majority, or would they rather have a motion for clarity or documentation?
Mr. Vice Chair, this is Bill Freymeyer with the AG's office.
Yes, go ahead, Bill, please. Thank you.
So I looked at the proposed guidance by Commissioner McIsaac yesterday, and it has a lot of details in it. And because the Willapa Bay area has been pretty controversial, but subject to a lot of public interest, how about, and interest in the existing policy, I think it might be best if Commissioner McIsaac proposed this as a motion, so that if it does pass, the staff knows exactly what the commission is asking the staff to how to guide them, and if it doesn't pass, we know exactly where we are also.
Okay, so be it. Any objection from or comments from the other commissioners?
This Commissioner Thorburn, I was going to wait until the motion, and then I've got some sort of questions and comments that I'd like to make, but I'm fine with putting the guidance on the table as a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn.
Mr. Vice Chair?
Yes. Mr. Keogh?
Yeah, Commissioner Keogh, thank you. Maybe I would just like Commissioner McIsaac to give an indication when he's through and when the proper time is to make a motion. So I'll just stand by.
Yeah, that is
okay. Yeah.
Right.
Commissioner McIsaac, take it away.
Okay, well then I will make a motion, and then if it's seconded, then I would like to speak to and explain the motion, and then we can get into our discussion. So I make the following motion regarding commission guidance on implementation of policy C-3622 in 2018. As a matter of general guidance, policy implementation in 2018 to achieve priorities or goals for one fishing sector should not result in eliminating the opportunity of any other fishing sector. Regarding Chinook fishery management, Willapa Bay Chinook fisheries should be actively managed to not exceed the 20% cap in 2015. Regarding the recreational fishery, in achieving a priority for the recreational fishery for Chinook salmon, design the 2008 fishery after exploring a reduction in the 4 adult salmon bag limit, to curtail high catch periods in June, July, or early August near the ocean boundary if necessary to conform to this guidance, to focus on mark selective fishing wherever practical, to not exceed 20% impacts after accounting for incidental impacts needed in commercial fisheries described below, and to include active monitoring of the bay fishery prior to September 30th and active management of the bay fishery if the total fisheries impact ceiling of 20% on natural origin fish is in reasonable jeopardy of being exceeded. Regarding the commercial fishery, the natural origin Chinook salmon 6% impact set aside for the commercial fishing with alternative gear, together with 3% impacts relating to historic impacts, shall be used in preseason planning to cover Chinook incidental impacts in all commercial fisheries targeting coho, chum, or hatchery Chinook salmon. Active management is expected in season, and it may be that more or less than the 9% ultimately occurs within the constraint of the 20% impact rate cap and the provisions of this guidance. And lastly, regarding the status of policy C-3622, that this policy C-3622 is to remain in effect in 2018, except as clarified or modified by this guidance. This guidance applies only to 2018. And if I have a second, I would like to explain it a little bit.
This is Commissioner Kehoe. I'll second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner McIsaac and a second by Commissioner Kehoe. Any further discussion?
Commissioner Carpenter, yes. This is Baker.
Can I explain my motion before we take any further dialogue?
We can do that, Commissioner.
Just as kind of a normal point of order.
Is there any objection to that?
Okay. I've had a chance to read the talking points, so they were very helpful, but I have had a chance to see them.
Mr. Vice Chairman, not everyone has seen the talking points. I don't know that all the staff or the public has seen them, so I would appreciate the chance to speak to the motion.
Commissioner McIsaac, please proceed.
Okay, well, last Saturday we heard testimony calling for many decisions on implementing terms or intent of the Willapaw policy, from further hatchery program changes to payback provisions to reinstating traditional commercial fishing seasons and others. However, this agenda item was requested by staff to get policy guidance on what was referred to as the pickle. And that would be this policy dilemma that providing for continually expanding and full sport fishing opportunity and other recreational priority interpretations of the policy for Chinook salmon in 2018 could eliminate or essentially eliminate the commercial fishing opportunity for other salmon species and hatchery origin Chinook. While several policy areas have significant needs for implementation guidance, this policy guidance on interpreting the Willapaw Bay policy for 2018 only refers to the pickle that was described. With regard to this general guidance of achieving priorities or goals for one fishing sector not resulting in eliminating the opportunity for another fishing sector, as we kind of indicated on our January 5th conference call, in my opinion, it's not apparent that the policy originally envisioned eliminating one user group to provide priority to the other, and if it did, in my opinion, that would be bad policy. At our meeting last week during the sturgeon and commercial salmon take-home agenda items, we heard very encouraging dialogue about sport and commercial fishing groups working together for the common good. And I think that is the kind of thing that we should be promoting with our policy decision-making. In my opinion, it would be wrong to plan for an enhanced recreational Chinook fishery for purposes of achieving recreational priority if it eliminated the commercial fishery. It would be wrong, on the other hand, to manage for commercial priority on coho or chum if it caused the upriver sport fishery to close. This policy guidance is intended to make it clear for 2018 that opportunity for both sport and commercial fisheries should be designed. The more people that are interested in salmon, the better off the salmon will be. For the portion of the motion dealing with Chinook management and the Willapaw Bay Chinook fisheries being actively managed to not exceed the 20% cap, I propose this because this is our fishery conservation policy target. That's what's been in the policy, and I think it should be actively managed for in 2018, given the past 2 years' results. regarding the recreational fishery first point in an attempt to achieve some recreational priority, about exploring a reduction in the four-fish adult salmon bag limit. And Mr. Vice Chairman, you spoke to this at the Fish Committee meeting last week and about how a four adult salmon bag limit does not seem to be necessary in achieving sport fishery priority if it contributes to exceeding the fishery impact cap. And so the guidance here is to ask the staff to explore this as they move forward in the preseason planning with our advisors. The second point, to curtail high catch periods during June, July, or early August near the ocean boundary of Willapa Bay, if necessary, to conform to this guidance. It may be that these periods in this particular area of the bay offer the simplest way to achieve the fishery conservation goal, particularly if non-Willapa Bay fish are somehow counted toward the impact cap. Regarding the point to focus on marked selective fishing wherever practical, while there may be enforcement issues to doing this when the ocean fishery is still ongoing, the local recreational community strongly supports marked selective fishing, and perhaps there could be more of it during the summer months. So again, this is kind of guidance to the staff to explore that. With regard to the point of not exceeding the 20% impacts after accounting for incidental impacts needed in commercial fisheries, I'll speak to that again in a moment. And with regard to the point of including active monitoring of the bay fishery prior to September 30th and active management of the bay fishery with the total fisheries impact ceiling of 20% on natural origin fish is in reasonable jeopardy of being exceeded. Well, we heard some fishery monitoring is already in place for the bay fishery, but it was just inadequate to provide for a catch estimate. Currently, punch card-based estimates are used for final catch estimates, which cannot even begin until the punch cards are returned by anglers after the season is over. So censusing the bay fishery, particularly in the summer, can allow for a management change if the catches exceed the preseason expectations in a significant manner. Cost is always a consideration here, but adding a few fish checkers to count boats and subsample boats for additional CPUE data in 2018 beyond whatever the current program has been doing could be considered cost neutral if one considers current salary savings. It's understood that some reprogramming of biology staff time will be needed to crunch numbers, but this should allow the staff to know if it's apparent that catches are inconsistent with preseason expectations on the high side. Increased monitoring was called for under the original Willapa Bay policy when it was adopted, and I think we just need to understand that this kind of thing is the cost of doing business when such policies are adopted. Regarding the commercial fishery pre-planning points here of 6% plus 9% or plus 3% coming up with 9% for the various fisheries, that it may be more or less. Less than 9% might be needed if the coho and chum run sizes are small. More might be needed if the coho and chum run sizes are large and there are leftover impacts in the sport fishery. But regardless of how this dynamics goes, the 20% cap stands along with the other provisions of this guidance when conducting in-season management. And looking at these combined recreational and commercial measures, it should provide for numerical recreational priority and a much higher recreational priority than when the Willapa Bay policy was originally adopted. Lastly, on this guidance being relating just to 2008 and applying only to 2008, you know, we do have many policy interpretations and challenges that remain. But this guidance applies only to 2018 and is not meant to be a revision of policy C-3622, nor set a precedent for changes to come. It's notable that the Willapa Bay policy calls for a dramatic shift in Chinook salmon fishery management in 2019, when the harvest rate cap drops from its current 20% down to 14% for all fisheries. And there are many other features of significance that that can entail changed consequences. For example, there's currently state legislation, state administration actions, and an upcoming gubernatorial executive order that bring questions of consistency with the current Willapa Bay policy intent regarding hatchery production. Thus, it seems appropriate to look at our year-at-a-glance planner as to scheduling a report on C-3622, perhaps at the February 2019 meeting, to hear about the policy, the results of the policy implementation in 2018, and also outstanding questions for its applicability in 2019. And lastly, as an aside, I would ask that should this motion go forward, that the commission task the acting director and staff to arrange for it to be communicated to the public via news release, particularly those that were in the audience that traveled so far last Saturday to participate last Saturday. And additionally, at the appropriate time, maybe we could task the director with arranging for a meaningful advisory body input as we approach next February, but maybe that's during our meeting planning part of this meeting. So that concludes my perspective on the motion, and be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions or discussion points by anyone?
Commissioner Thorburn, I got questions perhaps for staff and some thoughts, if I could.
Please, Commissioner Thorburn.
So first, and is one of the challenges with the policy that we see is not meeting PHAS and PNI goals. We've got barrier problems in all of the rivers. And so we rely a lot on harvest for removing hatchery origin fish. And so I'm just curious, with going forward with this particular guidance, I guess it's asking maybe Chad, do you see this with just kind of holding our own, probably with those two measures, or helpful? So that's my first question.
Thank you. That's a good question, Commissioner Thornburn. In relation to PHAS and PNI, while the catch has some impact on that, obviously the amount of opportunity that is offered in the bay out front ends up removing a number of hatchery fish that helps us reach those targets. The plan and the policy was for Willapa River to be able to reach those HSRG criteria was through the reduction of production there in Forks Creek, and it is it still stands true today. The modeling that was done during policy development shows that we would be hitting those targets. We really just need to wait until the returns of those last higher releases have passed through and we start getting returns off the smaller release number. Agency staff, hatchery staff have been working very hard to reach those targets for the nacelle. And we're planning on instituting some of the things we learned in nacelle in the NEMA this year to help with that as well. I would think that the most of the rebuild for the nacelle hatchery will really help when that is completed. Make sure that we reach those PHAS and PNI targets moving forward. We have had some success this year, this last year, and we plan to continue those efforts and make inroads on that. I would think that that this will help us plan fisheries, but I don't see it making a huge difference in terms of the PHAS and PNI values.
Okay, thanks, Chad. And then I have one comment. It's likely, it sounds like there are, not all of the commercials have adopted tangle nets for the bay. And it's likely that the adoption of this guidance would pretty much close the bay to those who are still using gillnets. I think I'm correct in that analysis. So I just put that forward as a consideration as we think about this guidance that we're putting forward. And then finally, just to thank Commissioner McIsaac for the work that you've put into this. Those are my questions and comments.
Thank you. This is Commissioner Carver. I just wanted to add one comment as it related to the three panels that we had last Saturday. I thought that went really well, and I was particularly pleased with the Andy Appleby and Jesse Helsley comments that, and on a broader brush, talking about some of these conservation rehabilitation items on the different systems that, very candidly, I wasn't aware there was near as much work going on there as there is. And as a matter of fact, I'm down in that area now, and I'm going to do some driving around today. So anyway, we have a motion and we have a second. Do we have any additional comments or questions?
Commissioner Carpenter, this is Kelly Cunningham.
I'm sorry?
This is Kelly Cunningham, Commissioner Carpenter.
Yes, Kelly, go ahead, please.
With respect to Commissioner Thorburn's last statement, I'd like Chad to provide a little bit of clarification for the commission.
So in reference to the tangle net and regular small mesh gill net discussion, I believe the 3% that is set aside to prosecute gill net fisheries will satisfy the November coho fishery. In the past, we have gone non-mark selective in that fishery for Chinook. There are very limited impacts, and it really was a logistical and funding issue. We have plans to be able to extend and cover that part. I think by making that November fishery mark selective, in discussing that, we could still provide that gill net opportunity utilizing small mesh gill net for November. It would give us a little bit of clearance as well in the later part of October to use small mesh gill nets to prosecute coho fisheries. Although it would be true that we will have to increase the amount of tangle net slightly to accomplish these objectives.
Thank you, Chad.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Commissioner McIsaac, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Just for some clarity of intent on this matter of tangle nets and gill nets, it was not my intent, and I did not mention tangle nets, so it was not my intent that there be anything in this motion that would limit the flexibility of the staff to manage the fishery inside this 9% preseason planning target for commercial fisheries. So when I mention in the motion that the natural origin Chinook salmon impact of 6% is, quote, set aside in the currently policy, I'm referring to that number of 6%. Combining it with 3% for historic impacts for a total of 9%, that the staff would have complete flexibility in designing fisheries to cover Chinook incidental impacts in all commercial fisheries, targeting chum, targeting coho, targeting hatchery Chinook salmon. So if there's alternative gear out there, pound net cut type of things that people would like to experiment, the 9% would have to come under that umbrella. If there's tangle net fishing that people want to do, it would have to come under that 9%. If nobody wants to fish pound nets or tangle nets, then the gill net fisheries would be managed under the traditional gill net fishery. Non-tangle net fisheries would be managed under the 9%. Preceding planning. So there was never any intent here that only 3% would be used for traditional gill nets. And given what we heard about the state of development of alternative gear being still not very explored very well. And Commissioner Thorburn's comment that maybe not all the commercial fishermen have tangle nets, that we're not really moving down the road as fast as some people thought, maybe, on alternative years. So for 2018, just again to restate what was intended here, I was combining what was the 6% set aside, which I don't think anybody believed that the alternative gear would use 6% in 2018, the way things are going. That 6% plus 3%, 9%, and then the staff has the flexibility to manage for that 9% impacts, but the 20% impact rate cap stands.
So, Commissioner Thorburn here, thank you for that clarification, Commissioner McIsaac. I certainly endorse that interpretation.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments or questions by anyone?
Well, this is Commissioner Baker.
Commissioner Baker.
I believe my question has been answered, but I just wanted a clarification that when we discussed the first point, which was we don't mean to exclude one fishery at the expense of the other in our management, that's for right now we are talking just Willapa Bay policy, correct?
Yes.
Okay. It just seems that that is a tool that we sometimes employ, and I didn't want to be voting on something that was much bigger than it seems. So with that, I'm happy.
Okay. Any other comments by anyone?
Commissioner Carpenter?
Yes.
Commissioner Carpenter, this is Ron Warren.
Good morning, Ron.
I'd just like to thank the commission. I think that the modification that you're looking at gives us a great deal of flexibility and answers the question that we've tried to bring to you in previous presentations in answering the recreational priority answer. So I very much appreciate commission efforts in this discussion.
Thank you very much, Ron, on behalf of the commission. A lot of effort went into this by a lot of people, I'll tell you that. Any other comments or questions?
Mr. Vice Chair, this is Joe.
Director Store.
Thank you. I would just want to echo Ron's message, but point out, you know, as a practical thing, that what we'll do with this document is attach it to the existing policy, and then As Commissioner McIsaac said, this will serve as our guidance for 2018. So just wanted you to have a sense of how those two documents now will relate to each other. Make sure if it passes.
Okay. Thank you, Director Stewart. Any other questions before I call for the question?
Mr. Vice Chair, this is Bob.
Commissioner Kegel.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair, and thank you, Commissioner McIsaac, for putting pen to paper to this. I know ideally it would have been good to have made this presentation on Saturday with everybody present, but given time constraints, we were unable to do that. I will be voting in favor of the motion, and I just want to make a couple of points. I think more toward looking long-term when we take this, take a more of a long-term view of this policy. And the first issue relates to the need for active monitoring of the bay fishery. And I brought this issue up before. And the issue has to do with the ability to provide an in-season update on the Chinook run. I know staff uses an update which is based on the commercial fishery CPUE for coho and for chum, which is very useful and critical in making conservation needs, where the department can see if a run is coming in at forecast, or below forecast, or above forecast. And when the run is above or below, corrective actions need to be taken with respect to ongoing fisheries in order to ensure that our conservation goals are maintained. The pickle that we're in with respect, and this is my understanding, with using an in-season update with a commercial fishery, is that the policy prohibits any commercial fishing until you know, after Labor Day or after September 15. And my understanding in talking with staff is that is after the peak of the run has gone by, making it impossible then to really have an effective in-season management. So I know it would be we're not looking to make such a change for this season, but clearly conservation is the paramount goal here, and conservation trumps sport, recreational allocation, gear conflict issues, in my opinion. And so looking forward, I would encourage staff to start thinking about ways to use the commercial fishery, even a small-scale, limited participation fishery, you know, earlier in the season, in order to come up with a good handle on what the Chinook run is looking at, so that we can take corrective action if necessary. The second point that I would like to make, more again long-term, is in my opinion, we really need to take a strong look on whether the nacelle should continue to be contributing system instead of a stabilizing system, which was really what what the commission was looking at all along until the very end. Commissioner McIsaac correctly pointed out that there is legislative mandates concerning Chinook production at the nacelle hatchery that conflict with our policy, particularly with respect to going down to 14% impact rate on natural spawners in the nacelle system. Again, more long-term, but I wanted to put a marker down on those two items for future consideration. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner Kehoe. Any other comments?
Graybill.
Mr. Graybill.
Commissioner Graybill. I would like to echo Commissioner Kehoe's comments. I think those are very important for consideration down the road. Another item that's just a comment for consideration is when we, at our last meeting, we had one of the panelists from the commercial side that had shared with us that he had made the transition to tangle nets and had invested well over $8,000 to do that, to help move forward with the Mark Selected effort with a lower impact rate, mortality rate. And I want us to look at this policy and what we can do within that to properly incentivize those fishermen, commercial fishermen, that are willing to make the investment and move to tangle net gear. Right now it appears that we have at least one that is doing that at their own expense. I want to look at what we can do to further incentivize that so they can recoup their investment for participating in this fishery with a lower mortality rate. I don't know that that's available within the parameters of the current policy, but I think we should do what we can to support those that are willing to make the transition to tangle nets. And if there's the ability to provide them with an additional catch based on the mortality rate, whatever is available to us, and I would like to have staff
explore that as, and also I want to make sure that's available under the provisions of this, as I will also support this motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Graybill. Any other items for discussion? Okay, hearing none. Thank you all. All those in favor of the motion presented by Commissioner McIsaac, say aye.
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 Opposed, same. The motion carries. Thank you for a good, healthy discussion.